Let's pray. Father, we just come before you and we thank you, Lord. It's so awesome just to worship you, Lord, to lift up our voices, Lord, to sweet incense to your ears, Lord. So, Father, we just come before you now as we're going to fellowship for a bit. And so we just thank you for this time, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, something new. Well, you've heard fellowship before. This is not a census, okay? But I'm gonna give you numbers. Just remember your number. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, okay? It's okay, I won't hurt you. Don't worry. So, sir, you're 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Sorry for me pointing. And you're one in the back there. Did you remember?
I forgot.
And you're two, so I'm one. All right, if you're a two, we're going to fellowship now. But so twos rise. Twos, if you got to sit down, raise your hand. If you have to sit down, we'll come to you. So the twos, just gather over here. If you need to sit down, go ahead. Okay, so let's come to her as she's a two. Okay, and ones. If you're ones, come over here with me. Jerry will be with the twos. And this is what I want you to do. This is fellowship. Now I want you to ask each other your names, how long you've been a believer, and if you need any prayer and maybe what you do for a living. Just get to know each other, okay? We're going to do this for 10 minutes. And it's part of my sermon, so. Okay.
I'm Alan, I run a lot.
Okay, Charles, can you mute me? Hello, hello? Okay. All right, you guys, maybe seated. True fellowship. I want to lift up one of the ladies that we met, Virginia, and just an awesome servant in the Lord, and it's been a believer for a long, long time, since you were 12, and. That's really an example, and wow, since 12 years old, she's been a believer. But Al, she's taking care of her husband, Al, and And so we're just going to lift up Al in prayer right now. And it was nice to meet you all. What a blessing. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you, Lord God. We want to lift up Virginia, Lord God. We just thank you, Father, for her service to you, Lord, and how she's loved, how she's taught children, Lord, as a teacher, and how she loves her husband, Lord, and how she's taking care of him, Father. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, even now that you would give him comfort, Al, comfort, Lord, and that, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, that you would heal him, Father God, and that you would bless that family, Lord. And I know they're blessed because they know you, Father, and they're living an abundant life in Christ. So I just thank you for that example, Lord. I ask that your grace and mercy falls upon Al and Virginia, Lord, and that you give them a peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, that you just lift their lift them up, Lord, and that you'd bring back a refreshing into the relationships and the family, Lord, and you'd bless them financially, spiritually, emotionally, physically, Lord. Thank you for this time, Lord, and we just ask that the Holy Spirit be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have till 7:30, is that correct? Okay. Woo! Took a little longer than I thought. Jerry. Everybody knows Jerry, huh? I'm just kidding. I've known Jerry for a long time.
I pulled up in numbers.
Oh, how are you?
I saw some
major
park and the car was broken down.
Yeah.
No matter how hard I tried, I said, be warm and filled, brother. The Holy Spirit told me to come back.
True fellowship, huh?
And they did it grudgingly, and I haven't regretted it.
Yeah, me either. I love you too. Huh? Tonight? Oh, no. That'd be nice. I didn't know. Is that what Bill does? I'm up for that. That's on the 4th of July, I think we're talking about. Oh, that's enough to come. So, well, we're going to be in John chapter 12. And a little background. John chapter 12. And, in chapter 11, it's where Lazarus of Bethany was sick. And you remember his sisters who lived with him were Mary and Martha. And you remember Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. Remember her complaint about Mary and her serving alone? And Jesus said, Mary sat at the feet, at Jesus' feet, was hearing his word, what we're doing today. We're hearing the word of God. No. No. So the background is, that's, you guys remember, Jesus raises Lazarus, and we know that Lazarus had died, and Jesus resurrected him. We can go to John 11, 43 through 44. And it says, now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. So that's what happened in chapter 11. You remember that they were upset that Jesus didn't come and heal him. And Jesus even told his disciples, we're going to wait. Because he wanted to show his power and who he was. And so now we go to chapter 12. And we'll read 1 through like 9. And it says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him, Jesus. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil, spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Well, one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had money, had the money box or the money bag, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always. Now, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also seek Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So Jesus... who is going to be crucified in just a few days, less than a week, he comes and he sits before his friends to eat. I mean, he was under duress, he was under pressure, and he came and he sat with the brethren, he sat with the believers. And you know what? You know how much pressure he was in. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweated teardrops of blood. But he chose to sit with his friends in fellowship. So to me, this is true fellowship. This is pure fellowship. And it said that house, he was amongst his people in the house of Simon the leper. And you know, the lepers, you know the story of the lepers. When, if they were a leper in biblical times and they walked by you, they'd have to say, unclean, unclean, unclean. And obviously, he was healed. Jesus must have healed him, because if he wasn't, he would have been in the leper colony. And so this was sweet fellowship. And what a beautiful picture of what fellowship should be like. Jesus sitting and breaking bread with the unclean, with the new believer. Lazarus is a picture of a new believer, right? With the complainers, Martha, right? With the sinners. Now we're going to talk about Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And Lazarus is a picture of one who was dead in his sin, but now a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new, have become new. Lazarus was sitting at the table with Jesus. You know, isn't it wonderful that you remember when you first became a believer and how fanatical you were? You know, he's so fanatical. I mean, I got my even Pastor Mark, they came up to him and they said, my brother and sister, he's too crazy. You got to do something. Pastor Mark said, go, Joe, go. You know, he just, but that's how we are. You know, when a true conversion. So it's so refreshing when you're amongst new believers, because they're so excited about Jesus. And they'll say anything, they'll do anything, they'll go anywhere. They'll come to 3 or 4 Bible studies. And they'll get involved. They'll get involved. Because I remember it was so exciting for me. How refreshing to see those new believers. In Luke 15:10 it says, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. There's joy. And when they're in the, we have fellowship and we go, like you said, are we going to eat together? That's part of fellowship, is breaking bread. And it's wonderful. And as we talk, you'll see. But likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over a sinner who repents. So Lazarus, before I picture of one dead to his sins and after living the abundant life in Christ as a new creation. And now he's symbolically that, not that he was. He was dead and God, Jesus resurrected him. And remember Martha, Martha, Martha. You know, I'll do that. I said that to my wife. It doesn't go over very well when you say it to your wife. Like you want to go to church and you're going, Martha, Martha. Or come on, we got to go. We're going to be late. Well, I got to get the dishes done and I got to, you know, I got to do this and I got to do that. Yeah, but we're going to be late for church. You know, before me, it was more of waiting. It's how I'm going to be perceived. It's how I'm going to look like, you know. But she was worried about the things of the house. And she still is to some part. But so I chose not to fight with her on that, but just to try to help her and get to church earlier, which we still get to church late. But God knows my heart. So Martha was complaining about Mary. You remember the story, right? In Luke, I think it's 10:41. But because Mary was, Martha was serving, getting everything ready, and Mary wasn't doing anything. And she was saying, she was just upset at that. And Jesus said, Mary's done the right thing, sitting at the feet of the Lord. We do need Marthas, though, right? Or nothing would get done. But you got to have a balance. You got to have the Lord in your life. You got to sit before the Lord. You got to come to church. But in Philippians 2:14, it says, do everything without complaining and arguing. That's a New Living Translation. Yeah, me too. Do everything without complaining and arguing. In 1 Corinthians 10:10, it says, and do not grumble, as so some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. Whoa! New Living Translation also. It's just a sign of being ungrateful. A sign of being bitter. I find myself in that category too. But if we go to John 12:2, where it says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Martha served not one, but around 17, without complaint. She learned, didn't she? She learned that that's my gift. Because that's one of the gifts, spiritual gifts, is serving. You know? You know, there's people who clean the bathrooms and put up the chairs and do the sound and do all kinds of stuff like that behind the scenes. Boy, that really speaks to me because they're not up at the podium, they're not, oh, look at me, you know, they're just doing hard work. That's, to me, that's like, man, they're just doing it from their heart. They're not doing it to be seen by men. And so servants are wonderful. Jesus was the greatest servant of all. Philippians 2:7, it talks about Jesus says, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. When Jesus came to this earth, he emptied himself. He emptied himself of his divine abilities. And he became a man, fully man and fully God. Now we talked about Lazarus and we talked about Martha. Now we're going to talk about Mary, a symbol of worshiping our Lord. And let me see. Verse 3. Chapter 12, verse 3. It says, then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of oil. Her worship was costly. She poured it on the Lord's feet and wiped it with her hair. And you know, that oil was probably her dowry, and it was worth a year's wages. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. But you know, in those times, For a Jewish woman to put her hair down? You would hardly ever see them putting their hair down. It's not what they did, especially in public, much less wiping the feet of Jesus or somebody's feet. Because in those days, you know, the streets were probably dirt, and they probably went to the restroom in the street. So, but anyway, so you can see that she gave her best to the Lord. And what a beautiful picture of our worship for God, giving our best for Him when we come into fellowship. And you know, coming to the Lord, how many of you have lost friends when you became a believer? I lost a lot of friends because I was fanatical, I was different, don't smoke, don't drink, what do you do? You know, I didn't want to listen to dirty jokes anymore. So they all start vanishing. My wife said, yeah, you lost a lot of friends. Don't drink beer with them anymore. You know, I didn't have a problem with alcohol, thank God. And, but I didn't, the reason I didn't drink was because the example for my children. Because children usually don't do what you say. They do what they see you do. And if you're drinking and you're smoking, guess what? It's probably what they're going to do. If you're cursing, they're going to curse. If you're watching bad movies, they're going to watch bad movies. Because you know what they say? Oh, goes to church and this and that. But well, if he can do it, if she can do it, I can do it. That's what speaks is a witness, isn't it? So we've all lost friends because we became a new believers, and they shied away from us because, like, I don't know about you, but I was bold for Christ. I said, hey, man, you have to get Jesus Christ in your heart. You got to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Or you know what happens if you don't? You're going to hell. And they're like, whoa. I'm like, get away, you know. Or let me pray for you. But as you get mature in the Christ, you start mellowing out, and just you use scripture, and you're more thoughtful about your adventures in witnessing. But when we came to Christ, you know, the drinking stopped, the cursing, the dirty jokes. But it cost something. And you say, well, that's not costly. It was costly when we first came to Christ. It was costly when we worshiped, when we first came to Christ, but now it's not. It's a wonderful thing. Fellowship is a wonderful thing. And you know, the body of Christ is doing it less today. We're doing it less of fellowshipping. Our iPads, our computers, our DVDs, our Netflix. We're all into that stuff. When there's something going on, not many show up. Not just here, but everywhere. People aren't showing up because we're too busy. But fellowship is a wonderful thing. That's why I got us together to introduce ourselves. That's what we should be doing, is interacting, getting to know, praying for each other. And when you have that perfect setting of fellowship, you have the new believers, Lazarus, just, you know, glowing in there. And, you know, it seems in my experience, because I have a lot of clients, I'm a case manager also, and it seems like the new believers, God gives them everything. Like one of my clients, he's got like 4 free bikes, good bikes. He's going to college, he got a computer. He has 2 girls, so they gave him a car. So he's getting everything for free. I'm like blown away. So guess what? He's glowing. He's happy. That's what Jesus does when you come into the fold. He blesses you, right? Then when we get mature, He takes us through things. What good is a Christian? A Christian is like a tea bag. It's no good unless he's in hot water, because it produces something, doesn't it? What does it produce? It produces patience. persevering. It produces someone in the audience will be going through something that you went through. And you said, you know, I went through that. Well, what did you do? Here's the scriptures. Here's what I did. I can help you. Or that's why people need to get involved in their church and find out what's going on in your lives. Because the body of Christ wants to help you out. They want to know. Because if they know what's going on with you, then everybody's going to pray for each other. And that's the best thing you can do, is pray for one another, because God can move mountains. God can move the Goliaths in your life, the giants. He could take them out just by praying. When there's something going in your kid's life or in your life or a change, or the enemy's coming in and attacking, and you don't pray, that's just like going to a fight with Goliath and you keeping your sword in your sheath. No, when those things come, you got to pull your sword out and pray and read your word. God will direct you through the word of God. God will direct you when you come to church. He might say something to the pastor, but it doesn't mean anything to the other person, but to you, it's the direct confirmation. You're like, wow, Lord, you're awesome. Okay, that's what I should do. So, fellowship, new believers, serving saints. Martha, she cooked for all those people without complaining. Boy, when we go into banquets, we have fellowship and we have the food, the ladies do an awesome job. They cook their best, man, and that food always tastes really good. Especially go to the ladies, we can't get in there, guys. We go to their prayer breakfast, and boy, is it tasty. They all do their best. Costly, right? Like Mary, she gave her best to the Lord. That's when you feed someone, when you gave them something to drink, when you clothe them. Who did you do it to? Jesus, right? You fed the homeless. You fed Jesus. You clothed them. You clothed Jesus. He says, when you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. So this is what happens serving in fellowship. There's new believers. There's serving, giving your all and ministering to each other as Mary did. 2 Corinthians 8:4 says, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Not only should we be generously, but consistently giving to the saints. And this was out of the church of Philippi, by the way, which they were in great affliction and shared out of their poverty, Paul says. Out of their poverty, they gave with joy. It was a privilege. Giving's a joy. Giving's a privilege. Now going back to 12. In verse 4 is where we left up. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and used it to take what was put in it. You know, this is the only place besides in the New Testament where, you know, besides his betrayal of Jesus, where Judas, is mentioned doing something evil. But his betrayal was in secret. People do things, and this is contrary to what Mary was giving her best. Judas was taking from the Lord. You see, what a contrast. And Judas successfully hid the darkness of his heart from everyone but Jesus. You see, Jesus can see all. Romans 2:16, God will judge the secrets of men, it says. You can go there, but for the sake of time. Romans 2:16, God will judge the secrets of men. Hebrews 4:13, there is nothing hidden from God's sight. He sees it all. Zero. I remember when I worked at the mission in Santa Ana, one of the ladies said they were a teacher in Santa Ana. Well, I was in the mission on First and Daisy, and it was a bad area. But I remember people would be doing their drugs in the bushes, and I had to keep them away from the windows because that's where the guys in the dorm sat. And I had this 2 million candle-lit flashlight, and I'd boom, and all of a sudden they'd drop everything they had, you know, because the light exposes what they're doing in the secret. And so they, you know, people usually do, I know they do stuff in the daytime, but a lot of it's done in the night. But nothing is hidden from God's sight. And Numbers 32:23 says, sin will always find you out. How many found that out? I did. Sin will always find you out. And you say, well, this person seems to be getting away with it over and over and over, and look what he's got. Sin will always find you out. Eventually, you'll get caught. And it hurts. It hurts. So, going back to true fellowship. Philippians. Let's go to Philippians. Chapter 2. God eats peaches and cream. What do I learn that from? Pastor Mark. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affliction and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That's what I was trying to cultivate when we were talking. Getting to know each other. And some ladies brought up their burdens and what they're going through. So as believers, we remember those. We pray for them. And that cultivates true, there's the true fellowship. We have Christ at the center of the table in a leper's house. Jesus sits with the sinners, right? And in anything you do as a believer, Christ should be the center of our lives. And when Christ is the center of your life, then out of that comes priorities, morals, servitude, right? Because remember when we weren't believers, it was the opposite. Joe was the center of my world, and Joe came first, and Joe came second, and Joe came third. It was all about me. I remember when I was married, and I had, I think, two or three kids at the time, and I was in martial arts, playing basketball, going fishing, hanging out with my buddies. I said, hey, I work overtime, and you want a kid? Here's your kids. Have fun. I'm going fishing. Jerk. Right? I wasn't a believer. I couldn't see. When I looked out the window at my family, what I saw was a mirror of me. Yes. Yeah, that's right. God has a plan for me. And so, as I started getting worse and worse, he broke me. And then right here, somewhere in this chapel, I was breaking down. And as Pastor Mark spoke from the Word of God, it was like he was talking to me, like he had my rap sheet, so to speak. And he was just marking it off, you know, Joe. And I was like, what are you doing, Lord? And then I was just more and more, I need you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. I need you. And guess what? God hasn't stopped doing that to me. I still need Jesus. I was asking, Jesus, I need you today in church. And he answered me through the pastor. He answered me. And I was like blown away. I asked my wife, did you hear what he said? She goes, no, I didn't hear that. I'm like, see, because it's personal. The Holy Spirit works through the Word of God and it comes right at you, and you better be listening. You know, oh, he went to that. I don't think he quoted that scripture right. And look what he's wearing. And that, you know, or look what that person's doing over there. It doesn't matter who's up here. The Word of God has something for us every day. And we got to have ears to listen, because God is speaking to you. And if you don't listen, you're going to miss his direction. Right? We're supposed to trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? This is the one we forget about. And lean not on your own understanding. Because guess what? If I hold the reins, it's like, let me tell you a story about these couple that were going to Vegas. And they were going to take a trip. It was like a 5-day trip back and forth. And they were going on this big bus, you know, the ones that they rent. And so the husband got called into work, so he couldn't go. So he said, take the pet orangutan Harry with you. So, you know, it was domesticated, so it went. But he got a call in the middle of the night that bus crashed. And everybody died. And the only thing that was alive was an orangutan. In the desert, he was sitting on a rock, just looking out. He was like spaced out. But the orangutan knew sign language. So the husband went and they said, he said, there's only thing left is your orangutan. He's the only one that survived. He said, he speaks sign language, so we can find out what they were doing. So he's like, he goes up and he says, Harry, what happened? And he goes, they were drinking, and he goes, Harry, what else were they doing? He goes, they were smoking. And he said, and he goes, Harry, were they doing anything else? And he goes, the orangutans go, they were dancing. And he says, what were you doing? He goes, I was driving. Don't let you or I run your life. Let Jesus take the reins. He needs to control it. Give him the reins. Quit taking away. Some of us were the oldest in our family, and we think we can take care of it all, you know? But if you've been a Christian for any time, you'll know that isn't true. God will show you that it ain't you. Huh, isn't that true? I have a lot of friends who are like that. And then I said, why? Just let go, man. Let go and let Jesus take the wheel. So having Christ, true fellowship, we have Christ at the center of the table in the house of sinners, the house of the leper, the unclean. We have Lazarus, the witness of the new believer. And Martha, the servant who had a complaint of heart, who now serves 17, was bringing the food. Mary, worship of Jesus. Gave it her all. And this is what we do in true fellowship with the Lord, with the body of believers. We prefer each other. We esteem each other more than ourselves. Right? What's humility? Not thinking more highly of yourself more than you ought to. That's true fellowship. Jesus was showing this. In a body of worship, in a body of believers in fellowship, there's new believers, there's sinners, there's people that have been a Christian for many years. There's people that are cook, right? Cook for you. And it's a joyous occasion. Everyone's smiling, everybody's happy. Martha's serving. And people are eating, and the word of God is given. We worship, right? Isn't that what we do? What you worship, you pray, you break bread, right? Hear the word of God. All in fellowship. That's why we come to church, because as a body of believers, we listen to the word of God. And we put other people before us. How do you get joy in your life? Maybe you're going through I'm going through issues too right now. But you know how you get the joy? Jesus others yourself. Put yourself last. Put other people before you. And you will be like the Oompa Loompa Doobadee-da. Remember those guys? Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory? You'll be happy. The Oompa Loompas. You'll be happy. Believe me, I serve at the mission, and these people are just untied. And you wouldn't believe the stories I have. For 8 hours, I can tell you stories. But they're broken. But you help them, you point them towards Jesus. And that's so satisfying when they do well. I have one of my clients is, he just finished 2 years of college. He's going to Cal State Fullerton. Awesome. He's got his daughters back. He's got a car. He's got a job. He loves the Lord. He comes here sometimes. Wow, that's satisfying. Fellowship. True fellowship is what? Mary giving her best. So when you come in here and you get involved, you give your best. You find out who that person is, who Virginia is, and what prayer she needs. And talk to people. Find out their names. Hug them, if appropriate. And love them. Prefer them. Esteem them. Before yourselves. And you know what? This church will thrive. It'll be like a well-oiled machine. We'll be driving down the freeway like a Mustang Shelby. Flying. True fellowship. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you, Lord God. We thank you for teaching us, Lord, how to love one another, how to prefer others before ourselves, Lord. How to be you want to be the servant of all, or you want to be the most important of all in heaven, and you got to be the servant of all on earth, Lord. Help us to be your bondservant, Lord. Help us to love others. But Lord, help us to do it where it really counts, in our household. With our families. That is our first ministry, Lord. Help us take care of our wives and our husbands and our children, Lord. Help us to prefer them before ourselves. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We worship you. We honor you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So may the Lord go with you, and you have a wonderful week. Fellowship with other believers. Get to know each other. Prefer each other. I just pray that the Lord would give you a blessed week. Bring a refreshing this week. Make sure you read every day the Word of God. Pray every day and you'll grow, right? And prefer your wives or your family. Prefer them before yourself. And you know what? We'll be doing the work of God, what he wants us to do. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.